Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Good morning, church. How's everybody doing today? All right. Welcome once again to our Path Worship Service. This is Generosity Sunday. We're so happy that you are here. Are you happy to be here today? All right. Good deal. Good deal. Always encouraging to come to church, to be able to worship God, to be able to fellowship with one another. And, you know, I always love to give you the easiest way you will have all week to share your faith. And for those of you who are joining us for the first time, I ask you for a favor, and that is simply to go on our Facebook page, like our page, and share our live stream. Now, I know a number of us watch on live stream when we are home. We can't make it out. Something happens. You know, maybe our family members and friends. And so the good news is, you guys ready for this? As you can tell, there's no phone over there. So we have upgraded our Facebook Live. You see Brother Darius back there. We got a camera now. The sound should be better. The quality should be better. So thank you. God has been generous to us. Amen? Amen. All right. Say hello to Facebook. Say hi, Facebook. You know, it's so cool. I tell you guys every week that this is something that actually works, right? And I love hearing the good news because last week, Nate Hines told me that he went and he was hanging out with his cousin who lives in Charlotte. And his cousin said, hey, man, I need to come visit your church. And he goes, well, yeah, we'd love to. But who? How do you know about the Path Church? Did my brother Nick invite you out? He said, no, I've been watching on Facebook Live. And when I come to town, I want to check you out. So hello, Cousin Ryan. Thank you for watching us on Facebook Live. I was hanging out at the Alexanders for Logan's graduation party. And I was talking to Justin, Roland's friend, Roland's son. And Justin said, yeah, I've been watching on Facebook Live. The family was in Dallas. And that Sunday where you guys had a storm, we watched on Facebook Live. We watched your devotional on Facebook Live. So people are really watching. Amen. All right. So let's make sure we share that. And those are the specific stories. But, you know, every week we average about 1,000 views. So we want to get the word out to as many people as possible. And I hope that the Circle Maker series that we have been studying out has been a blessing to you. Whew, I guess I got to come a little harder today. I hope that it's been a blessing to you. The book is awesome. It's all about praying circles around your biggest dreams and your greatest fears. And this series, as I like to remind us, is all about building a faith that honors God, right? A faith that fuels our prayer life and a faith that fosters a deep humility and a dependence on God. I hope you have had some victories in your prayer life. I heard of a great victory recently. Samantha and Elijah shared with me how it's been an inspirational time for them because for about a few months ago, they had, back in December, Elijah had lost his job. And it was just a really challenging time for their relationship and just for their time. And 4 weeks later, he ended up getting a new job, right? A nicer hotel, a little bit more money. So amen for that. And when they got engaged, one of his managers said, hey, listen, we'll give you a deal, right? It's usually $65 a person to have your event here, wedding, reception, but we'll give it to you for $50 per person. Oh, that's a good amen. We'll say $15. But when they went to meet with the event coordinator a couple of weeks ago, the event coordinator loved their story so much, fell in love with them, and said, you know what? We're going to give you this space for free. For free. All the resources for free, all the staff for free, and she blocked it out the day before so they can come in and set up and decorate for free, and she gave them two more rooms, smaller spaces, so the kids can come and watch a movie and play in a secure area for free. Boy, we serve a generous God. And that's, you know, and we get to celebrate Generosity Sunday today. And really, that's what we're celebrating. We're celebrating first and foremost the generosity of God. And today we get to show our gratitude for his generosity by giving our special contribution. Last year, this year, our special contribution is going towards the Vision Fund, a fund that goes towards our vision to create churches that mobilize the next generation. So before we pray and get into the sermon, I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your sacrificial generosity, your consistent giving, your faithful giving. As you know, and I've shared before, we make a budget for what our weekly contribution is going to be like. We have surpassed that just about every single week. So thank you for your hearts to give first and foremost to God and just to be totally invested in what we have going on here at the Path Church. So thank you. Thank you so much. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll jump into our sermon for today. Father, we thank you so much for how generous you are, God, and I'm looking forward to exploring that this morning, getting into your word and learning more about your generosity towards us, Father. God, we thank you for your son that you've given us, God, so that we can be free from our sin. We thank you for this church family. We thank you for our health, for all the physical blessings that you give us, Lord, and we consider it an honor to give back to you, Lord God. And we want to have the hearts that you are pleased with, Lord. So more than anything else from today, God, as we celebrate Generosity Sunday, more than anything else, God, we pray you are pleased with us, God. We pray that you are pleased with our hearts, that we can give to you with joyful hearts, God, and that you will bless our efforts, God, and multiply what we give you as we continue to strive to make a difference for you, to help as many people as possible to know you, Lord God, and help them get to heaven, God, as we continue to strive to finish the race ourselves, God. Please be with me as I preach your word. Thank you for the words you've given me, God, and I pray that you will reveal to us the things that you want us to grow in, the things you want us to learn, the things you want us to change for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. All right. So let's start with what it means to be generous. Definition of generous. The dictionary defines a generous person as one who shows a readiness to give more of something, as money or time, than is strictly necessary or expected. All right. And so we see this in God's character, in God's heart. Right. So Romans 8:31 is a great scripture where it says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, with Jesus, graciously give us all things? I love that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, in him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Don't y'all like that word, lavish? That sounds extravagant, right? That he lavishes, the grace that he lavishes on us. And if we look at those passages, the common word in both of those passages that talk about God's generosity is the word grace. We know that it's because of his grace that he is generous. What is grace? Grace can be defined as God's undeserved kindness. God's undeserved what? Kindness. God's undeserved what? Kindness. Yes, God's undeserved. Mark Batterson, his definition is, who's the author of The Circle Maker, what God does for you that you cannot do for yourself. I like that. Although we know we can't do anything for ourselves, so everything is God's grace. You know, you may have heard the song "How He Loves" by David Crowder Band. It's an older song, but there's a line in there that gets me all the time. Every time I hear that song, it says, "And we are his portion; he is our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If his grace is an ocean, we're all sinking." If his grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. What does that mean to me? That means that God's grace is lavish. God's grace is extravagant. God's grace engulfs us. Come on, I can get an amen on that. But y'all know y'all be going straight to hell without God's grace. I can get an amen on that. Listen, we are an amen church. Come on, work with me here. We're talking about God's grace. We're talking about God's generosity. That's what God talks about, how great, if his grace is an ocean, we'd all be sinking. It engulfs us. We experience God's forgiveness. That's his grace, right, that he gives us. And that forgiveness goes above and beyond what is expected, right? I became a Christian 16 years ago. I have kept on sinning. Have you? Not everybody. I guess some of us are good. Have you kept on sinning? I have. And God's grace continues to save us each and every day. His mercies are new every single morning. He goes above and beyond in forgiveness. But that's not all that he gives, right? He gives us his Holy Spirit. He gives us wisdom. He gives us his love, his unconditional love. Man, he gives us hope and a future. He gives us the church, as in the universal church. And he gives us our church, the Path Church, the beautiful gathering that we have here and that the family that we get to have every single day of our lives. He gives us physical blessings like money and a place to live in. He is so generous. Yeah. You know, that word grace is not often found in the Old Testament. So actually the word that is used more in the Old Testament is the word favor. But they mean the same thing. When you translate it from Hebrew, which is what the Old Testament was written in, to Greek, which is what the New Testament was written in, the word favor and the word grace are interchangeable. And in the same breath, like, the word favor is not mentioned a lot in the New Testament, but mostly we see that word, that meaning translated as God's grace in the New Testament. Now, I don't have time today to study out the favor of God, but I really want to encourage you to study it out for yourself. It was so encouraging. And I just went to BibleGateway.com, or you can go on the Bible app and just type in the word favor. And you'll see all the instances where the concept of favor is used in the Bible, and specifically more in the Old Testament. Now, I know some of us, we don't like to call ourselves religious. And, you know, in the South, everybody's blessed and highly favored. And so, you know, some of us go to the other extreme, and we don't even like to use that word because people use that with what's called the prosperity gospel and the favor of God. But we can't choose to fix a mistake with another mistake. So just because people use favor out of context and in a way that's not really biblical, right, doesn't mean that we don't use it at all, because it is in the Bible. And so we need to study it out and have a deep conviction on what is God's favor. How does it play out in our lives? How does it play out within a group of people, a people group? How does it play out for us as a church? Moses had a deep conviction about the favor of God. You know, that before he died, he prayed a prayer of blessing over each of the tribes of Israel, a prayer of blessing. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, in verse 13, the scripture will be up on the screen, but definitely take notes. I want you to go back and study it out. This is what he said about the tribe of Joseph. Deuteronomy 33, verse 13. About Joseph, he said, "May the Lord bless his land with the precious dew from heaven above and with the deep waters that lie below, with the best the sun brings forth, and the finest the moon can yield, with the choicest gifts of the ancient mountains and the fruitfulness of the everlasting hills, with the best gifts of the earth and its fullness, and the favor of him who dwelt in the burning bush." I love this prayer. Wouldn't you want somebody to pray that prayer over you? Please pray that prayer of blessing. Right? But how often do we even pray prayers of blessings over people? I love this prayer. This is an audacious prayer, right? Yeah. Because Moses has a deep conviction on the generosity of God. And because of that, he's able to pray for the best that the earth has to offer. The best the earth has to offer and the finest. Not that type of fine, brothers. I know what y'all thinking. Single brothers. Ooh, you got a different prayer for the finest. Yeah, maybe that too. The finest sister that you can just behold within your eyes. Like, God, I just want the best and the finest. That's what I've been blessed with. The best and the finest. This is my beautiful wife, Christina. I feel like I got the best and the finest. I pray for a wife. I remember praying for a wife. God bless me beyond my dreams. Now, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So not only do we need to pray for the finest physically, if you want that, but can we pray for the best spiritually as well? Because, boy, let me tell you, she better be spiritual, brothers. She better be spiritual. Here's a point. We were looking at Moses. We were looking at his prayer of blessing. That's what we were looking at. His prayer, his audacious prayer of blessing. His prayer for the best and the finest. And we talk about, man, the point I was trying to make from this scripture is that how often do we pray for the best and the finest, right? Like how often... You know, so many times I find myself struggling in my faith, and I'm like, well, what can God do? Like, what's the lowest common denominator that I can ask for, hoping that it'll happen? As opposed to, what's the most amazing thing God can do in this? Like, what's the most amazing thing that can happen, even from this challenging experience we just experienced? Like, what is the most amazing thing that can happen from that? What is the most, how can God use Robert in the ambulance at the hospital, right? How can he use that right now to help us understand? Maybe somebody in here, we need to understand that, hey, life is short. Our health is not guaranteed. Right. I mean, what's the best possible outcome in situations? I think we got to shift our mindset and really understand the generous God that we serve. Our prayers, our requests, our petitions, they're all a reflection of our conviction on the generosity of God. So when's the last time you prayed for the best possible outcome that you can imagine in someone else's life? Wow. That's who Moses was praying for. You know, or have our prayers just been about us? All right? Or are we praying for the best possible situations in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ? Our physical families, our friends? Are we praying blessings upon those that we love? Are we praying blessings on our enemies? That's what Jesus calls us to do. You know, I remember we love Julius, and we've been sharing so much about Julius and his sacrifice that he made for Jamel and giving his kidney to his brother in Christ. And as our family was praying, we took several weeks to pray and fast. Our family was praying. And I remember one time in the car, our family was praying, and we just prayed, God, just bless Julius. Just bless that brother beyond measure. Just bless him. I specifically pray, God, bless him with an amazing job. Just bless him, God. Bless him with a job, a greater job than he has, and bless him with a wife, Lord. Just bless his life. We had lunch a couple of weeks ago, and we were just talking, and Julius had recovered quickly, and that's an answered prayer, and he had tried to go back to work, and he actually went back to work, and he got a promotion. He got the job that he was asking for when he got back to work from giving his kidney to his brother in Christ. That's amazing to me. Now, we're still praying for that wife, so it could be today. Amen. In the name of Jesus. The best and the finest for our brother Julius and obviously our brother JC, who is back, and... He's saying amen to a lot of those, a lot of that discussion right there. So, but I also love the last line in this prayer. Did you catch that? He says he prays for the favor of him who dwelt in the burning bush. That is such a deep prayer, so powerful to me because it shows how personal this prayer was to Moses. And when we pray, it should be personal to us as well. It's the favor of him who dwelt in the burning bush. That's the favor of him who met Moses where he was, who called Moses while he was in exile. He's talking, like when he says this, he's talking about the favor of him who had a dream for Moses in spite of his sin. You know, he committed murder. And so this is the favor of him who gave Moses a second chance, the favor of him who gave Moses the passion and the faith and the courage to actually do something so far beyond what Moses could ever ask for or imagine, to deliver God's people out of slavery in Egypt. That is who he was talking about in that prayer. So my question to you, if you were to pray for God's favor over someone, what would that last line say in your prayer? The favor of him who, fill in the blank. I want you to take out your phones, or you got a little journal or whatever. I just want you to, the first thing that comes to mind, what is it for you? Right? For me, it would be the favor of him who rescued me out of the pit. That's the first thing that came. Man, I pray for the favor of him who rescued me out of the pit. For Paul, as we read about last week, it was the favor of him who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Maybe for you, it's the favor of him who heals the sick, or him who set me free, or him who is close to the brokenhearted, or him who gives, who sets the lonely in families. You know, all these that I just said are biblical characteristics of God. But which one of those is personal to you? Who is he to you? Write that down and just share it with each other today and share it with each other this week. What would you write? How would you fill in the blank? You know, when we have this personal conviction on the generosity of God, that's based on our personal relationship with the grace of God, that's when our faith in God will inspire us the way it inspired Moses, to not only ask for the audacious, but to act on the audacious. And so that was my sermon a few weeks ago, right? Asking for the audacious, but asking for the audacious should lead us to acting on the audacious. And that's, if you need a title for this message, I want you to remember that. Don't just ask for the audacious, act. Act on the audacious, all right? So when we start praying those type of prayers, usually what you will sense is the Holy Spirit kind of nudging you a little bit to do something. You can't just sit there and pray for audacious things to happen and not do anything, right? We know that faith without deeds is dead. And so it's on us to really act, because if we believe what we're praying, wouldn't we act on it? And I think personally it's amazing that God would even allow us to be part of his miracles, right? That he actually wants us to actually be part of the audacious, to be involved in the miraculous. You know, when Moses is leading the people out of Egypt, God tells them, he says, hey, go by the Red Sea and wait there. I had just figured that out a few weeks ago when I was studying it out. I thought they were just trying to get away, and then they ran into the ocean and were like, oh, we can't go anywhere. No, God said, go. This is where I want you to camp out. And when the Egyptian army starts bearing down on them, he doesn't just teleport them to the other side, as we know he can do, right? Philip and the eunuch. No, he says, Moses, stretch your hand over the sea. And at that moment, the sea splits in half. Two walls of ocean like raise up on the right and the left, and they get to walk on dry ground. See, God allows us to be part of the audacious. Then Joshua, who's the next in command, he gets to experience the same miracle in a different way. This time, they're not running away from Egypt, but they're running into the promised land. Now, that'll preach in itself. That'll preach in itself, you know, because sometimes some of us, we want the promises of God, but we're still enslaved in our sin. We're still in Egypt, right? And we're not willing to leave in Egypt, but we want to walk into the promised land. You know, sometimes there's always something we got to give up. We got to leave behind when we're trying to step into the promises of God. Now, we got to embrace that if we want to be true disciples of Jesus Christ. And what God has ahead of us is so much more amazing than what we are leaving behind. For some of us, acting on the audacious means that we're not only asking God to save us, but we're trusting him enough to repent. to actually leave the world, to leave our lives of sin and submit our lives to Jesus. That's audacious in itself, right? To leave the world and follow Jesus. When we go back to Joshua here, Joshua chapter 3 is an awesome chapter. He's a new leader of the Israelites. He tells the people, consecrate yourselves. This is what he tells the people. He says, they're about to go into the promised land. He says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. I'm so grateful that God wants to do amazing things among us, not outside of us, but with us, in between us, through our relationships, through our faith, through our weaknesses, sometimes in spite of us. Can I get an amen, church? Amen. Y'all leave me out here again. I really don't like to rebuke y'all twice in one service. Amen. I mean, I'm convicting y'all on like some crazy stuff. This is exciting stuff. And that's what amen means, let it be. And so it is. Man, we're excited about the word of God. Here's the thing. He doesn't need us to do anything. It's not like we got to. We get to. It's a privilege. It's an honor. No, and it's one thing to hear about how God works in other people's lives, to see him work in the Bible or see him work in other people's churches. Like, man, that's amazing. It's another thing to see him work among us, right? And we get to be part of it. We get to be used by him. And sometimes the way he uses us, first he calls us to get our feet wet, okay? He calls us to get our feet wet. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 6. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 6 says this. In the morning, Joshua said to the priests, lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river. And so they started out and went ahead of the people. The Lord told Joshua, today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. They will know that I am with you just as I was with Moses. Give this command to the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop there. What is the Ark of the Covenant? The Ark of the Covenant represents the presence and the glory of God. It was the earthly throne of God. So literally, God was literally going before them, right? And Joshua to make sure that God was going before them and that God was leading the way. And God makes it clear, hey, listen, tell the priest that I want you to step out in faith with the Ark into the river, okay? We're going to skip down to verse 14 in Joshua chapter 3. It says, so the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was a harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. It was flood season. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the Ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up with a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed onto the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Did you catch it? Did you see it? It was as soon as their feet touched the water, that's when the miracle started. Sometimes it's not until we step out in faith that we get to step into a miracle. Sometimes we got to step out on faith. That's when we get to step into a miracle. Can you imagine what it was like for those priests as they stepped into the water holding the Ark of the Covenant? All of a sudden, you know, you're at the beach and you put your feet on the shore and the waves come and then the waves rush back out, that undercurrent, and it makes like a little hole in the sand. That's what I picture it was like. Like they walk into this river. I don't know how deep they got. But can you imagine as they walk in and you feel the current just stop? And then you look up there and you see that no more water is, like, it just stops up there. And then you look to the right and all the water is rushing into the sea. And all of a sudden, there's nothing there. There's a river at one point, there's nothing there. Like, God did that for a reason. He wanted them to step into the river for a reason, to understand and experience this miracle of what God was doing. Sometimes it's one thing to pray. It's another to move as if it's actually going to happen. Right? Unfortunately, some of us, we spent our entire lives on the shore of the Jordan, and we're waiting for God to part the river while God is waiting for us to get our feet wet. Now, there's different reasons why we don't step out on faith, right? I mean, you talk about fear. Maybe it's apathy. Maybe it's just our desire for comfort. But some of us, we never get to experience God parting the Jordan River in our lives. And what does that mean? We never get to experience God making a way out of no way. When you show up to something, when something's before you, like, how am I ever going to get through this, right? Or we never get to experience his providential leading into the promised land, into the promises that God has for us. But it's not until we step out on faith that we step into a miracle. And let me say this, stepping out on faith isn't just about some crazy dream or goal, right? Sometimes it's about making a decision to forgive and taking the steps necessary to reconcile broken relationships. Sometimes stepping out on faith is about making a decision to obey and then taking the steps to deny ourselves. Sometimes it's about making a decision to be humble and taking the steps to get open about our sin or to seek advice about our future. Sometimes it's that simple and that practical as to how God wants us to step out on faith. But it's not just about doing these things. The point I'm trying to get across, what I think God is telling us today, it's about making decisions, taking steps in faith. And we do that because we know that it pleases God when we are faithful. Even if the results don't turn out how we want them to, we know that it pleases God when we not only ask for the audacious, but we faithfully act on the audacious. Y'all remember a movie called Facing the Giants? Oh, faith-based movie. It was like, man, it must have been about 10 years ago now. I'm going to show you a clip in a second, but it's about a football coach named Grant Taylor. Now, he's going through it, man. He is really struggling. Everything seems to be going wrong for him, like on the field and off the field. And finally, in broken desperation, he turns to God, right? He starts praying and praying, but even then, he doesn't see any results. And so that's when God sends an older gentleman, Mr. Bridges, to come have a little D-time with Coach Grant Taylor. And Mr. Bridges is known for, he would walk around the hallways in the classrooms. He's one of the teachers in the movie. He would walk around the hallways, and he would pray over every locker and every student whose locker that belonged to. And so I want to show you this clip. That's where we start with this video clip here.
Mr. Bridges?
Revelation chapter 3 says, "We serve a God that opens doors that no one can shut, and he shuts doors that no one can open." He says, "Behold, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know you have a little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Coach Taylor, the Lord is not through with you yet. You still have an open door here. And until the Lord moves you, you're to bloom right where you're planted." I just felt led to come and tell you that today.
Mr. Bridges, you believe God told you to come tell me that?
I do.
I admit to you I have been struggling, but I've also been praying. I just don't see him at work here.
Grant, I heard a story about two farmers who desperately needed rain, and both of them prayed for rain, but only one of them went out and prepared his fields to receive it. Which one do you think trusted God to send the rain?
Or the one who prepared his fields for it?
Which one are you? God will send the rain when he's ready. You need to prepare your field to receive it.
Drop the mic on him. I told you he was having a little detail with Coach. God will send the rain when he's ready. You need to prepare your fields to receive it? How are we doing preparing our fields, church? Are we preparing for rain? You know, I remember as a younger campus minister, this exact clip made a profound impact on me and my faith. And I remember, you know, there would be times where we wouldn't see people, like, becoming disciples. We wouldn't see people getting baptized for an extended period of time. And at that moment in our lives as a church, the baptistry, we had this big old baptistry, if y'all remember, it was about this tall. And it would sit in our garage. We would store it in our garage, right? And it worked out because throughout the week, whenever somebody wanted to get baptized, they just come by our house, and we would have a baptism right there in our garage, like the book of Acts, right? And we would have a party in our garage, and you know, our neighbors wouldn't be so excited about that, but we were celebrating a new soul being saved. But whenever we would go through these droughts, say, man, I need to prepare for rain, I would drain the baptistry, and I would clean that thing out, and I would fill it up. I wouldn't know who was going to get baptized, but sure enough, God will consistently bless that. I remember so often I would go to the store, and me and my wife would go to like the Christian bookstore, and I'm like, yeah, I'm getting this baptism card for somebody. She's like, who's getting baptized? I said, I don't know. Somebody is. And for me, and we'd get gifts, and she's like, why? But she caught on. And, you know, it was for me, it was like, I needed that for my faith. I needed to do something to prove to God that I trust him, not just by talking, but really acting it out, really living it out. And so I believe that even as a church, I believe that's what we're doing now. I believe that we are on an adventure with God, and we're striving to show him how much we truly trust him to come through. You know, our prayer, we've been talking about it. Our prayer is next year we'll be celebrating our housewarming party in our new church home. We've been talking about that. We've been praying that audacious prayer, not only for us, but an audacious prayer to be able to provide a home for a single mom or a family in need. And we want to celebrate their housewarming party as well in 2020. And let me tell you, God is moving. I feel like right now, like we're watching him part the Jordan River. We're literally watching him make a way out of no way. I know y'all looked at me like I was crazy when I talked about a free building, but we're seeing, we're stepping out, we're getting our feet wet, and we're seeing him work. And yes, I do have an update. A few weeks ago, you remember what I asked you to pray for? I asked you to pray specifically for the charter school to get approved. Because we have a set of investors that wants to buy the building. And if this charter school gets approved, then the charter school will cover the cost of the building, and we get to meet there for free. And we get to have access to it 24/7. It is big enough for a school and a church to be able to do what we do and keep it separate, right? So we were praying, God, please pray for this charter school to get approved. And we thought we would find out sometime between July and September. Well, the last thing I heard was that the charter school has been approved. But it's been approved to start 2021. So, remember Honey, the prayer, the Jewish guy that was praying in a circle, right? And he was praying for rain, and then it started pouring, like it was just drizzling. He's like, no, not for that rain, God, but for a downpour. And then the downpour came, and people had to run. And he said, not for that rain either, God, but for the rain of your grace and your blessings. Yeah. We're going to stay in that circle. Yeah. Lord, thank you that it's been approved, but not for 2021, Lord. We are praying for it to start 2020. Because that means we get to start meeting there in 2020, which has been our prayer all along. So if you can join me in praying, in September, the charter school management company will present to the charter school commission, and they will try to convince them, present to them and convince them that they have the tools and the resources to start in 2020. So it's set up for September. So I ask you to be praying about that. So for today and the rest of the year, you have an opportunity. We all have an opportunity not only to ask for the audacious, but to act on the audacious by giving our special contribution. And, you know, last year was awesome. I'm so proud of the church. Last year we collected $65,000 in our special contribution towards the Vision Fund. $15,000 from our partners. Another $50,000 came from in-house. This year we set the goal for the same number, 50,000, and this will put us over $100,000 in our vision fund, which will help us see our vision become a reality, and hopefully we won't have to spend any of that on the building. We could just pour it into other resources, into people, and continue to build what we have going on, into the community, right? So my prayer is that we will not only match our sacrificial generosity from last year, but that we will exceed it. We do have more people. Last year, we had 40-some baptisms. We've had several people this year get baptized, so we have more people. So I pray we will be able to exceed our goal. And I hope that those of you who have joined our family more recently, that you will continue the legacy of sacrificial generosity that the brothers and sisters of the path have lived out for years. And for some, even decades. Some of us have been given special contribution for decades, right? So I pray that we will continue in that legacy. The good news is we've already collected over $10,000. So we're excited about that. That includes me and my family. We were able to give already. We're excited about that. So once again, thank you so much. Thank you. This is an opportunity for every single one of us to be part of the miracle. Not just the miracle of acquiring a building for free, but the miracle of seeing God save souls all around this city. And, you know, we believe that having a church home is the first step to seeing our vision come to life. And then the next step would be to mobilize a team to start a new church or a new campus on the north side. Where are my north siders at? All right. All right. And not only that, but my audacious prayer is to have five churches or campuses by 2030. And my prayer is to have churches all around 285. And then have a church as well in the city. So speaking of 285, I want to give you another simple and easy way to be part of this miracle. And we're calling it the Circle Maker Challenge. The Circle Maker Challenge. So as you know, the city of Atlanta is surrounded by a highway called Highway I-285, right? And so what I want to challenge us to do for this summer, June, July, and August, I want us to take a road trip around 285. Do it together. Don't do it. The only thing I ask is don't do it by yourself. We're going to work on praying together. All right. Whether that's with your family, whether that's with your roommates, whether that's in your small group, in your Bible talk, whatever. Maybe you want a caravan. The whole Mosaic ministry, just caravans one day around 285. Whatever you want to do, I want us to go ahead and just circle our city in prayer. Circle our city and prayer. And then what I want us to do is, you see that little marker right there? That's where the building is. It's right off of exit 1 off 285. So as you're circling 285, I want us to get off on that exit and circle the building, just like they did with Jericho. Okay? We're going to circle that building in prayer. We're going to pray for God to do his will, for God to bless our efforts, to do the miraculous. We're going to pray for the church that's meeting there now, that God has a place for them to be. So we're going to pray for the best and the, oh, all right, somebody got it. That's what Moses prayed for, the best and the, yes. And on top of that, I know I don't have to bribe you, but I want to reward you. We'll be giving away T-shirts, okay? For everybody who accomplishes, who takes part in the Circle Maker Challenge, you will get a T-shirt. We are working on a cool, what I think is going to be cool, design. For the Circle Maker Challenge, a Pray for the City T-shirt. And all I ask is that as you are on that prayer journey, that road trip, I ask that you take a picture for proof. And not that I don't believe you, not that I don't trust you, but we want to post that. So I don't even know how this will go viral. I don't know how people will see it on social media, and people even outside of our church will start praying for our city. All right? That's all I have for us today. Thank you for being patient with us. We're going to go ahead and pray for our communion at this time. And, you know, I want to go back to what Joshua said to the people. He said, consecrate yourself. For tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among you. And so as we take communion, this is an opportunity to consecrate our hearts. Whatever fear, anxiety, worry, whatever doubt, whatever sin, whatever guilt, whatever shame we have, whatever pride, whatever selfishness we're fighting through right now, whatever arrogance, whatever self-righteousness, whatever it may be, I just want us to take this time right now to come together in prayer, to pray for God, to cleanse us, to cleanse our hearts, to set our hearts apart for his use, so that as we are giving our gift to the Lord, whether that is today, whether you've already given it, or whether you're going to give it throughout the rest of the year, that right now that we'll be giving to God with a joyful heart and a clear conscience. And whatever we got to wrestle with, I pray that right now that we will make a decision to repent out of our reverence for Christ and our gratitude for the gracious generosity that he has shown us on the cross. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, it has been an eventful Sunday, Lord. God, and you show us that though our days can be full of surprises and challenges and things happening we don't even see coming, God, that you stay the same. You are a comfort. You are our rock. You are our foundation. You are our refuge. Father, and we are so grateful that we can rely on you through everything that life brings our way. Father, we're grateful that you are so generous. We can't even wrap our minds around all the blessings you have given us. All the forgiveness and grace and mercy you have shown us, the blessings, the answered prayers, the miracles we've been able to see. God, we thank you, Father, that you allow us to be a part of your miracles. Like, you allow us to get our feet wet. That you don't do it without us. You do it with us. You want us on this journey with you, on this adventure with you, Father. And I pray that we could just grow a deeper conviction on your generosity that will inspire our faith to not just ask, but to act on the audacious God. We thank you for Jesus. At this time, we consecrate our hearts and our minds, our souls, our spirits to you. Father, whatever is in our hearts that is not pleasing to you, Father, we surrender that to you. We ask for your forgiveness, God. We ask that your kindness, your generous kindness, will lead us to repentance, God. And I pray that we will make decisions to take the steps in faith to repent, to show you our gratitude, to go deeper in our relationship with you, Father. And right now, as we go into our contribution and we collect our special contribution, God, we just ask, God, and we hope that you will be pleased with our hearts, that you will be pleased with us as a church, Father, that through our challenges and opposition, God, that you will bring us closer and closer together, that you will be with all our visions and our dreams, that you will either magnify those dreams and visions or modify those. We pray specifically, God, for this charter school to be approved, Father, to start in 2020, Father. And God, we pray for our brother Robert. Continue to be with him. Heal him. We pray for the best possible outcome in his life. We pray that he'll never have a seizure again, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.